Bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. I'd like to look over into Psalms, the 139th Psalm. And then after referring to this first part of the Psalm, there's a couple others that they just sort of fit right in. Psalms 139. And before we go on, let's bow our heads for prayer. Our dear Father, as we come to Thee this morning, thank Thee for the privilege of gathering in this way to worship Thee. We pray that Thou will help us, Lord, that all of our worship will be for the glory of God, and that our hearts will be touched and strengthened and encouraged. We pray, Lord, that the word will be open to us and that we might be able to receive it with joy and give adoration to Thy great name. We just ask for guidance and leadership today. Pray that Thou will help us to be sensitive to the voice of God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? I think we'll stop right there. The last two verses of this chapter: search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I think this scripture really points out that God just knows all about us. He knows all about you this morning. He knows all about me. He knows what our longings are today. He knows what our desires are. He knows what's maybe troubling some. He knows all about the ones of you that are on the mountaintop, and He knows about the ones that are down in the valley, and He knows about the ones that are in between. Whether you're going up the mountain or coming down the mountain, He knows all about us. And I'd like to look back again in Psalms 130. And I think he was sort of relating what he's had gone through, and I believe the Lord took his thoughts and his prayers and his meditation, and a lot of these things he put down here that we can learn from them. Psalms 130, and we might ask ourselves, each one this morning, ask yourself the question, how is God helping me? How is God helping me? David said, out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let Thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Now in this situation, he's talking about, sounds to me like being down in the very bottom of the valley, down in the depths. It almost came to my mind also of Jonah when he was talking about being down in the whale's belly. I mean, he's about as low as a man could be. we talk about our feelings. And I remember as we were going out to Oregon one time, we decided we're going to go right straight west, right on through Oklahoma, Texas, and Arizona, New Mexico, into California. And then we thought, well, maybe we'll take that coastal road, number one, and go up the coast up into Oregon. Well, we didn't have much time to look at all the things. We thought, well, we may never go this way before again, so we're going to try to see some of the things, the Grand Canyon, Death Valley, the Sequoias, just one thing after another as we went along the trip. Well, to make a long story short, you know, if you really want to see all those things, you can't just spend a couple hours at Grand Canyon. It doesn't quite work that way. But one place that especially impressed me, and it was not a good way. I don't know how many of you have ever been to Death Valley. Any of you been to Death Valley? Some of you have. And we started down, and it seemed like we were just going down, down, and it's so barren and so void of any vegetation and all that, just down, way down, until you finally come down to this big area where it's just sort of a salt flats, if you can call it that. And underneath of that, evidently, is sort of a salty water. I saw where somebody had taken a bar and they had busted through that salty crust, and there was just a sort of a, it looked to me like a Dead Sea. That'd be a good example of it, except it was all sort of a salt flat all out there. And my wife and I, we walked out, and it was hot. And they told you, wouldn't it, used to get to certain temperatures, certain times of the year, and how hot it got. And I thought, this is hot enough for me. But not only that, up on the big old cliff up above us, it said there was sea level. And we were, I don't know how many, I don't know if it's 100 feet or whatever, below sea level. And I let my wife know, I said, this is the lowest I ever want to go in this old earth. You know, you can go on further down, and we know what is clear on down below. The scripture always speaks about hell being down from any point in the earth. It's down. And this hot, putrid place was a place that I didn't want to be. And you know, in our Christian lives, if we've found that the area that we have been in, our life has all of a sudden taken a turn, and we started drifting a little bit downward, and things have become barren, and it's not the lush vegetation that we once knew, not the wonderful breezes and the like when God came down and walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. There's no cool of the day. It's hot now. It's bad. And I think David was talking about this. He said, out of the depths have I cried unto the Lord. He felt like probably he'd been down about as far as he could go. And his thankfully, what he wanted to do is to cry unto the Lord. And you can, whoever you are, wherever we are today in our Christian lives, if we have needs, that's one thing each one of us can do. We can cry unto the Lord, and the Lord will hear us. And he'll answer prayer, because he said he would, and his word will not fail. He will answer prayer. If you're earnest and honest with God, and you fear God, and you realize you're in a barren, hot land spiritually, and you don't want to stay here, this is not where you want to be, you can cry unto God, and God will hear, and he will answer prayer. And so he said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? In other words, he's saying, if the Lord looks on us and sees that we have sin and that's where we're going to stay. We're in bad shape. But God can change that. He's made a way that we can get out of that barren land, to get out of that death valley, the Dead Sea, all that kind of a spiritual situation. We can get out of that. He said, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. There is forgiveness with God. How many of you believe that God will forgive the sincere seeker? Raise your hand. You believe that God will forgive the sincere seeker. And if we really believe that, that means me. That means you. The devil's going to tell you, young people, middle-aged, older folks, that God will do it for someone else, or the one sitting beside you. But you just don't know how bad I am. You just don't know what all I've done. And he'll tell you all the bad things you've ever done. But God can save the vilest sinner and change him and make him into a new creature in Christ Jesus. He can erase the death valleys. He can erase the Dead Seas. He can erase the vile, horrible, low living life. He can give us something worth living for. There is forgiveness with thee, and thou that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. His word is true. We said just a moment ago, we believe that God will answer prayer for the one that is really, truly seeking him. And his word will not let us down. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they which watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. He waiteth for the Lord. Sometimes when we're in the dark of the night, and I remember some of those long trips we made out to Pennsylvania. And when we were younger, we would get in our vehicle in the evening, and the children would all go to sleep, and we would drive all night long out there. And I did just pretty good until after midnight on up sometime in the morning, and all of a sudden it started hitting me. And I'm dangerous to drive with if I'm trying to go to sleep. But I really appreciate these little rumble strips that they put along the side of the road. Back then, I don't think we really had a lot of them. Nowadays, if I get sort of sleepy and things are not going quite right and I hit that rumble strip, my wife goes straight up in the air. And if I was getting sleepy, all of a sudden I'm not anymore, because she's going to be sure she stays awake to keep me awake. Sometimes we need some rumble strips to wake us up spiritually, don't we? We need to help us to realize that we're getting close to the edge of the road. And if we go on off of there, it's a way down. It's a long way some places. And we need something to stop us, to wake us up, that we don't get satisfied living in Death Valley. What a morbid place to live is to live. Would you like to build your house down there on the salt flats of Death Valley and walk out in your front yard and all you see is this crumbly, salty stuff, and out in your backyard's the same thing, and hot and putrid and humid? There's a better place for us to live spiritually. We can live in a place that's close to the Lord. We can ascend into the heights of the mountains, the cool mountains where we can be up close to the Lord. And the secret is to learn to wait on him, to cry out to God, to meditate on the things of the Lord. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Now there's a couple other things that I'd like to look at. When they were down in this awful situation, they were in captivity in Babylon, in chapter 137 of Psalms. Notice their situation here. He said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. They were looking back to better days, when they'd been closer to the Lord, when they'd been up in the mountaintops, and their mountaintop experiences with God, and God was there. And now because of sin, they're in captivity. And he says now they are sitting down, they're weeping. At least they're sorry. And that's one of the first places we can get to get out of that place, is to be sorry that it's because of us, and blame ourselves because we're the ones that yield ourselves to sin. We're the ones that fall and cause ourselves awful tribulation by going down. And he said then in verse 2, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, that they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the Lord's of the songs of Israel, of Zion. The devil likes to make fun of people that he's lured to temptation, and they've fallen for his temptation, and they're going through horrible struggles because that they haven't listened to the Lord. And he's like these ones who would say, well, now sing us a song, you happy Christians. Where is God now? Sing us a song in your mirth. Get your harps out and sing us a song. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How are we going to sing the Lord's song when we're down in Death Valley, when we're about as low as what we can get? Well, Paul and Silas, when they felt like that the devil looked like the devil had got them all locked up in prison and there was not much hope for them, they were locked in there hand and foot, and there they were. But one way to get out of the old Death Valley is to look up to the Lord and pray and sing the songs of Zion. Think of God and hope in the Lord and praise the Lord for victory, that God can give you more victory and he can get you out of that situation. All of us sometimes find ourselves in places where we don't want to be. Maybe we made a mistake sometime. Maybe we went too far. Maybe we said too much. Maybe we let our thoughts go into places that they shouldn't have been. And all of a sudden, God arrests us and says, now just wait a minute. Look where you are now. And he gets our attention, and thankfully we hit the rumble strip, and God hopefully wakes us up. And then in Psalms 126, I really like this. Psalms 126, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Wonderful thing to be released from the bonds of the devil, the bondage. The devil has bondage, awful bondage. I just finished reading a book. I think his name was Santos. Some of you read about it probably down in Belize. How that he became a Christian. How that he had addiction to drugs and alcohol. And he had his old friends come around. And when he got on top of things, then here they were with all offering him all the alcohol that he wanted, and they offered him the marijuana and all those things. And he had his up and downs. He had his struggles. But God gave him the victory because he fought on. He sought the Lord's help. And you know, if you're just going to drift with the tide, there's no fighting to that. You just let go and drift with the tide. But let me tell you, it's a miserable place, because I know that I did that one time and threw it up my hands, and just too hard. The battle's just too hard. And I drifted, and it seemed like the hand of the Lord was against me. Everything I did was wrong. Because I was under conviction for my sin. And it was not an easy place to be. No, I didn't have any spiritual fights as far as trying to maintain my spiritual life. But as I drifted with the tide, it was a horrible place to be. And I don't want to go back to that in any way. Well, Psalms 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Have you ever seen someone get straightened out spiritually when they was having struggles and they were defeated and they were down spiritually? And They finally just confessed it all out to the Lord. They just confessed it all out to the Lord. They counted the cost. They knew that if their soul was lost, it was not going to be worth living for the devil and living for self. And I have seen different ones when they went to the very bottom and didn't hold anything back from God. I've seen them sometimes set back and they just do sort of a sigh of relief. It's done. I yielded to the Lord. It's all over. My fight, my struggles. And he says here, it's just like them, that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Now we can have real joy in the Lord. Laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for them. He's picked them up out of the deep miry clay. He set their feet upon a solid rock to stay. And he's put a song in their happy souls. And now they're on the way towards heaven, the narrow way that leads home. And the devil's going to resist them. He's going to fight them. But if God be for us, who can be against us? And it's not worth being down, some people say, down in the mullet grubs, in the very depths of the valley of the shadow of death, right down there where we don't want to be. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Now you don't have to be down there poking holes in the old crusty salt to find some old salty water, but you can drink from the streams of living water. And God can open up the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings upon you even today, right now. And then the last part of that chapter says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. When you get right with the Lord, then if you're going to weep, weep for the erring one. Weep for the lost soul. Weep for the one that's still far down where you were. Weep for them. He that weepeth, goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Someday, we're going to say goodbye to this old world forever. Some people don't believe that. But I've seen a lot of people leave this old world. And it's a wonderful thing to see someone say, I'm ready to go. I've never been closer to the Lord than I'm right now. And I'm ready to leave this world. And then to simply settle back, and their breath gets shallow, and then they're gone, just like that. Gone to be with the one that they lived for. May the Lord help us to not be satisfied to live in the valley of the shadow of death, but look up. Jesus is coming soon. Let's kneel in prayer.